Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year again. Boy, it still seems funny to say that, doesn't it? But it's because this is the start of the church year. This is Advent. And I really think it's important that we follow the church year because it takes us through the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus and all the things in between. Now, we are not in Christmas. Christmas starts Christmas Eve and goes through January 5th, the 12 days of Christmas, you know, the Christmas Carol. So the thing is, Christmas has got a long time period. It's not just a day. You know, we've turned it into a one-day celebration and then forget it, we go on to other things. No, it's almost a two-week celebration. I'd like to thank Pastor Jim Leske and Living Hope Lutheran Church in Omaha for our help this morning. Because today I'm going to be preaching about the Advent wreath. Now, I started this last year, and there's enough stuff on the Advent wreath that I can do this every year but come up with different things. So let me give you a little background on it again. Johann Heinrich Wieland, 1808-1881. I only said it once, I'm not going to do it twice. A Protestant pastor in Germany and a pioneer in urban mission work among the poor, as the inventor of the modern Advent wreath in the 19th century, 1800s. During Advent, children at the mission school Rauhaus, funded by Wichern in Hamburg, would ask daily if Christmas had arrived. So in 1839, he built a large wooden ring made out of an old cartwheel with 20 small red and 4 large white candles. A small candle was lit successively every weekend and Saturday during Advent. On Sundays, a large white candle was lit. The custom gained ground among Protestant churches in Germany and evolved into the smaller wreath with 4 or 5 candles as we know it today. Roman Catholics in Germany began to adopt the custom in the 1920s. 1930s, it spread in North America. This custom did not reach the United States until the 1930s, surprisingly, even among the German Lutheran immigrants, even though it started as a German Lutheran holiday. Advent is from the Lutheran word Adventus. So let's have an Adventus adventure together. What it means is arrival. So this is the 4 weeks before Christmas. It's a time for us to ponder the great sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made for us by coming to earth as an infant. Now, why is that a sacrifice that he came to earth? Well, you remember in the Creed, we talk about him being an incarnate human. We call it the incarnation. Well, so he's human. Remember, I started touching on this last week. The combination of human and divine in Jesus. So to be our Savior, he had to become incarnate. So Jesus lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death, and rose from the dead for us. Okay? So the Advent wreath becomes a teaching tool and a reminder for Christians of the true meaning of Christmas. Hold on a second. No, it's on the... It's getting feedback because it's in the loop. All right, so the Advent wreath symbolizes the 4 weeks before Christmas. In it, we, if you notice over there, we have 4 candles on the outside, white candle in the middle. They're purple, can be blue, and the one that's pink is different. That's the day of joy, called Gaudet Sunday, which from Latin means joy, okay? And so we're going to talk about that as we get there. The white candle in the middle is the Christ candle. Guess what day we light that? Turn it off, it's got too much noise. All right, I'll talk loud then. All right, our first candle today is the prophecy candle or the candle of hope. I use this. This better?
Yes.
Okay. Our second candle is called the Bethlehem candle, or the candle of preparation. Now, we're actually going to be studying the Anglican view of the wreath this year, and that's called the candle for John the Baptist. And you'll actually hear when we get into that readings that it is the readings for John the Baptist. The third one's the shepherd candle, or the candle of joy. Fourth one is the angel candle, or the candle of love. And then the fifth one is the Christ candle. All right, so today is our candle of hope. Here's the verse that goes with it. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15. I love that. Overflow with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is a powerful statement, isn't it? All right. So the time's here for that standard Lutheran question. Altogether, what does this mean? Okay, you can do better now. What's that question?
What does this mean?
Good boys and girls. Today, we're going to focus on love, hope, and faith. Now, you know, I like looking up words and what they actually mean, because as we've looked at words in here, we find that many times we use a word means nothing about what we're talking about. But I looked up what Luther had to say about faith and hope. Here's what he said. Faith is a gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, we know that. But faith exists before hope. For faith is the beginning of life. I like that. Now, you know, we don't revere Luther, but he's a good pastor. And boy, if I knew half the stuff he does, I would think I would be smart. But I like that. For faith is the beginning of life. So, hope is nothing else than spiritual courage, while faith is spiritual prudence. All right, prudence, that's a real fancy word, isn't it? Okay. Prudence means the quality or fact of being prudent. I love this because that came out of Webster's Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary always uses the word to define itself. That doesn't help us if we're trying to understand what it means. But it means to be wise in practical affairs, as by providing for the future. That's what prudence is. Here's the words that mean what prudence means. Diligence, tact, wisdom, foresight, conservatism, discretion, vigilance, austerity, judgment, restraint, moderation, caution, thrift, watchfulness, deliberation, sagacity, calculation, and coolness. All right, no, I'm not going to go through and define all those. Most of those we know. This is why faith is the beginning of life, because it leads to hope, and hope leads to its effect on our daily lives. All right, so I looked up hope, to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. And then the next one is to believe, desire, or trust in the positive development of the future. I like that. Believe, desire, or trust in the positive development of the future. Hope. Isn't that what Jesus earned for us on the cross? This belief, trust, and desire in eternal life with him in heaven? I think so. But where in that statement does it say that things would be easy with him? Doesn't. You know, I heard just this week, God says in the Bible that, you know, he wouldn't give us anything that we can't handle. And guess what? It's not in the Bible. I don't know how many times I hear that. God never said that. Jesus never said that. But what he said was he would always be with us when things are tough or when things are easy. Why is that? Why is there evil in the world? Well, because of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. We live in a broken world, my friends. If all we did was live in the world, we would not have any trust, desire, or a belief in the future, would we? Right now, Christianity is the most hated religion on earth. But yet still the largest, isn't it? I've heard this fact, and I couldn't believe it, but worldwide, a Christian is killed for his or her faith every minute of the day. All right, so that's 60 in an hour. Okay? And I thought, well, geez, that can't be. And then I started reading. I talked to Peggy's mom this morning. I belong to a group that, you know, the James Dobson, the Focus on the Family, thank you, has got a mail thing for clergy where he sends out sermon ideas, but he keeps us posted when Christians were killed in the world. China just blew up a brand new cathedral in Beijing. It had just been completed and it was destroyed during worship with the people in it. Now stop and think. We had it reported that the cathedral had been destroyed. They didn't tell us that it had been destroyed with the parishioners in it. How many of you saw that on our local news? Well, because it had to do with Christianity, they don't report it. Yeah. That's not news. The ancient city of Nineveh in the Bible was one of the 10 cities. The Decapolis is what Paul writes about. The original cities of Christianity. We know it today as Mosul. When Mosul was taken by the Taliban, there were 350,000 Christians in Mosul. When it was retaken by coalition forces, there were no Christians left in Mosul. So what happened to 350,000 people? They found mass graves outside the city. The YouTube video of Christians being decapitated by the Taliban was not reported in the news media, except for a blurb in the newspapers. Remember when that happened, I talked about that, because those Christians were not Christians in the same sense we were, okay? Because they downplay the fun, they're the sun, they're Nestorian Christians. But yet, what name was on their lips when they were decapitated? Jesus. I think for me, that earns them any Christianity view. Why wasn't that in the news? Why are we not being told what's going on in the world? So where is the trust, faith, and hope for those people? You with me? So is it easy to be a Christian today? No. Is it easy to be a Christian in our own country right now? No. Was it easy during Bible times? Remember, all the apostles were martyred except for John. They all died for the faith. So does this mean the apostles, the YouTube men, the residents of the city of Mosul, or the people in China died without hope? No, they died with hope. They died with trust, belief, and desire of a future in heaven with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If that's what we got to look forward to, is death that bad? When I was at the VA hospital in Cincinnati, I was with a lot of veterans who crossed over. And the ones that were believers, as they were making that transition, started to smile. They saw something that I didn't. That hope, desire, trust, and faith in the Lord showed itself during that transition time. Because of that faith, that beginning of life, which leads to hope, the trust, desire, and love, we can give up everything because we know that Jesus is there for us. Even at that time of death or when things get tough, because he died on that cross for us and for eternal life in heaven, our faith in our hope for all mankind. And if you remember, today's candle is the hope for all mankind. So that's the meaning of our first Advent candle. And this is most certainly true. May this hope keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.